that's blues singer Marcia Ball, and she'll be performing at the Northwoods Blues Festival this weekend in Spooner. It's just one of several music festivals going on in Wisconsin this summer, and we'll talk about it and four others and welcome your recommendations. Are you planning on attending a music festival in Wisconsin? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, June 26th. This is a summer music festival edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We'll hear from five guests this hour who will tell me, who will tell us why we should check out their music festival. And we have room for more. Are you attending or performing in or organizing a music festival in Wisconsin this summer? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Jack Hemming, co-founder of the Northwoods Blues Festival. It takes place today and tomorrow, June 26th and 27th in Spooner, Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you're starting already this afternoon.
Yes, yes. It's going to be quite the party.
Yeah. So tell us about the Northwoods Blues Festival.
Well, we started this is our fourth year, and we seem to double attendance every year. So the word is getting out. Matter of fact, there was an article in American Blues Scene magazine in their June issue, the one that's just out now, and they had a list of the top five new blues festivals in the country. And I'm very proud to say we were on that list.
Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
excellent.
You.
So how did you get the idea to start it? Just like the blues?
Well, I wish it was a much more exciting story. But it was just a few guys sitting around over coffee saying, well, what's your fantasy? And, of course, it was mentioned, you know, win the lottery or something like that. And one of the guys said, you know, I'd always wanted to do a blues festival. And we looked at each other and we said, well, that's something we really could do.
And you did.
We did. So we got together and we kicked off the first one 4 years ago. And it was well attended and the word seemed to spread. And like I said, we seem to almost double attendance every year. And so it seems to be working.
Tell us about the venue. What's it like?
Well, it's the Washburn County Fairgrounds. They also hold the Spooner Rodeo there, so it's a large venue. I mean, we can hold thousands and thousands of people. There's plenty of parking, and this is our second year at that venue. The first 2 years, we were at Heartwood Resort, and after our second year, we used up 90% of their parking,
mm-hmm.
and since we know we double, we said, that's going to be a problem.
And now you have some room?
Yes, we have plenty of space. We can hold any amount of people that are going to want to show up. So it's a great place to have it. We have lots of food on site. We actually have an international chef that prepares all of our food. So it's not the typical festival food. There is trout almondine and grilled shrimp tacos.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Yes, it's a wide variety. And as our chef would say, come for the food, stay for the music.
Now, is this something where we come and go, or do we camp there, or how does that work?
Well, there is camping. Mm-hmm. Last year we took over the campground area at the festival, or at the venue, and we filled that. So this year we added a second campground bordering the festival venue, and we filled that. So,
well, it really is popular. What are some besides Marcia Ball? Who's going to be there?
Oh, we have. Just to give you an example, last year we had 8 bands performing. This year we have 14.
Yeah, there you go, doubling again.
Yeah. So we had we have 10 bands on the main stage, and then there's a. We've added a side stage this year featuring 4 bands. We have some of the lineup is Howard Guitar Lutke and Blue Max. They're kind of our good luck charm. When we started out, most people didn't know who we were or what we were, and they were going, I'm not sure I want to sign on for this. But Howard and Deb signed on immediately, And we have had them open the show for us every year. They are our good luck charm. We do have Tweed Funk. We have Becky Barksdale, Eric Gales. And just to give you a little background on that, Becky Barksdale was the former lead guitar player from Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
And Eric Gales, he's a person that a lot of interviewers, actually Carlos Santana said he's the closest thing we have to Jimi Hendrix right now.
Wow.
And the headliner for day one is Devin Allman. That's Greg Allman's son. And on day two, it's Mark Cameron Band, Jimmy and the Band of Souls, really good friends of ours. We have a new band that we haven't had before, Moondog Medicine Show. And if you close your eyes and listen to the lead singer, you'd swear Janis Joplin was on the stage.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I love Janis.
And then we have the Jimmies. And they're an amazing band. I got to see them again perform in Rochester recently, and they just light up the place. And then, of course, our final headliner is Marcia Ball.
It sounds like it's going to be a great time. Good luck, and thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thanks for calling.
And we will put information about the Blues Festival, the Northwoods Blues Festival, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is a summer music festival edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Are you attending any of the many summer music fests going on in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And that is a Cajun song, traditional Cajun song by Cajun Strangers, and Cajun Strangers performing at the Driftless Music Festival, which takes place on July 18th in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And our next guest is Charlie Noer, who is co-founder of the Driftless Music Festival. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks a lot for being here. So tell us about the Driftless Music Festival.
Well, the Driftless Music Festival, this will be our fourth year. It happens this year on July 18th. That's a Saturday. We go from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 10 o'clock at night. And we've got a lineup that's different than every other year, which we try to do. We try not to duplicate any style of music or any artist. You mentioned Cajun Strangers. They're a great band out of Madison doing Cajun music. They've been playing for, 25 years maybe.
So what is the genre of music that is played primarily?
Oh, it's so eclectic, Joy. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at the lineup, we start out with Chris Plata and Extra Hot. Chris is a Tex-Mex band. That starts at 1 o'clock. Chris has got a wonderful, really great story. He came into Wisconsin and Madison as a migrant worker about, 30 years ago. He just published a book, too, which is interesting. So he brings his hot band up here, and we start out with Tex-Mex music.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go on to Cajun Strangers, which, of course, is Cajun. Following that, we've got a band out of Chicago called Bumpus. Bumpus is a 10 to 12 piece band that is best described as funk. It really takes James Brown and Sly and the Family Stone and puts them together. They've got a nice horn section and backup singers, and it's going to really make people get up and dance.
It sounds fun. Very eclectic.
Right.
You have food and other things?
Yeah, we do. We have a variety of food. We try to keep that, try to improve on it every year. This year we have local beef burgers that the Lions Club is serving. We have beverages from Kickapoo Coffee, who is located, their offices are right here in Viroqua, which is where we are. And we have Wisco Pop, which is another local soda company. Then we have Mary's Berries, which is which are grown right outside of Viroqua. So we have shortcakes and smoothies that she sells all day long. There's a radio burrito. WDRT, which is our local community radio, makes a burrito, organic burrito.
That's a good idea. We should do that.
it would be fun. Yeah.
And it sounds like it will be a lot of fun. Charlie Noer, co-founder of the Driftless Music Festival, taking place July 18th in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll check news and then we'll hear about some other fun festivals, music festivals in Wisconsin this summer, including the Eau Claire Music Festival coming up in July. First, the news. That's Inside Out by Spoon. Spoon will be performing at the Eau Claire Music Festival, which takes place July 17th through the 18th in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We are now going to welcome in Michael Perry, a Wisconsin author and narrator of the Eau Claire Music Festival. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Well, thanks a lot for being with us. Certainly, our listeners are familiar with you, Michael, as a Wisconsin author and a frequent guest on Larry Mueller's show, on this show as well from time to time. What are you going to be narrating? How do you narrate a music festival?
Well, I'm figuring that out as it happens. It's been it's interesting. Mostly my job, when you think of narrator, it's not that I'm going to be standing there saying, and ladies and gentlemen, here's so-and-so. It's more in the approach to the show, and we've been releasing bios for the bands over a period of time, and I've been writing those, and also trying to weave in some history of the place where the festival will take place. And a lot of that narration has been intentionally oblique and abstract and a little enigmatic. It's been a lot of fun for me because I'm used to writing in my own voice, and in this case I'm literally trying to describe things through the filter of someone else's ideas and then through the sense of the place itself.
How did you get involved with the Eau Claire Music Festival?
Well, there's a guy named Justin Vernon, mm-hmm. and a band named Bon Iver, and I've known him since he was a struggling musician, and we recorded a couple of my songs in a basement of some rental. And at the time, I think things were a little grim for him. And he even was playing in, I have a little band, and he was playing in my band off and on. He since won a couple of Grammys and is touring the world. I always tell him he'll come crawling back. but what happened is that Justin Vernon, along with Aaron Desner of The National, are the two folks behind this festival, putting it together, selecting the acts. And at one point, I just got an email from Justin asking if I would pitch in and be the narrator. And I asked the same question you did. What does a narrator do at a festival? Finding out in real time.
What about your band, Michael? Are you playing?
My efforts are mostly focused toward just helping spread the word and create the character of the festival, but it sounds as if there might be a little event the night before the festival. We'll get up and play a couple of songs, but honestly, there's so many world-class folks coming to play at this event that I am more than content to just quietly narrate.
Yeah. So talk about the mission behind this festival. It is to put forward a sense of place.
Yes, I know that Justin has always spoken about the fact that he's a Wisconsin guy through and through, and he also very specifically the Chippewa Valley up here, which has been so good to so many of us. And this is where Justin grew up. It's where Justin played his first music, and he always had this dream of bringing a large music festival back to this area, and this is his attempt to do that. There were a couple of things. Well, he wants there to be an artistic element, so there are some interesting venues, some geodesic domes where some events will be taking place. There will be installation art, performance art. There's an Icelandic artist coming over to do a an installation along with Aaron Dessner of the National. But then also just a real eclectic mix of music, everything from the Blind Boys of Alabama to Lowe and Spoon, as you mentioned, Sturgill Simpson, who you know, that's a thrill for me because he harkens back to that outlaw country time that I grew up with. A group called Melt Banana, who's, they play Japanese grindcore. They're coming all the way over to play. And funk soul artist Charles Bradley, folks like that. So a very eclectic mix. The Indigo Girls, who were like a big influence on Justin when he was young, are coming, and they're going to play the entirety of their album, Swamp Ophelia. So really an eclectic mix. It's all centered around music, but also hopefully will be an artistic experience. Just there'll be light installations along some of the wooded trails and a little bit of everything. That said, we approach it with humility. It's the first time, and we're working hard on it and really looking forward to seeing people show up. And apparently there's going to be a lot of folks. I know they've sold close to 25,000 tickets at this point.
That's,
they're expecting about that many. You know.
I think Kayla Blado, my producer, was planning on going there. Thumbs up, she says. So Kayla's going to be there.
All right. Yeah, there's about 1,000 folks coming from outside the United States. And at last check, we had someone from almost every state in the continental U.S.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Michael Perry. Michael is a Wisconsin author. You probably remember his book, Population 485. And he's got a new book out, too, The Jesus Cow. I was on a vacation last week, Michael, and people who are all Wisconsin Public Radio supporters were on this vacation. And they many of them were reading your book.
Terrific. Well, I can always use readers.
But in any case, I also I saw a video about the Eau Claire Music Festival where Justin and others were saying how much they hope that people who attend not only will love the music, but they're people who are learners and that they believe will learn something from going to the festival.
Yeah, I think that's the reason that there's such an eclectic lineup. We really try to go across the palette of taste. I mean, I enjoyed the fact that about half the acts, when I saw the lineup revealed along with everyone else, about half the acts I recognized and about half of them I didn't. And also the idea of some of these art installations that I think because we come from this area, kind of a blue-collar area, we're used to all folks from all walks of life, all in the same place. And we, Justin and Aaron, were hoping that the festival would be the same, that you'd be open to some new experiences and get surprised along the way. I mean, certainly enjoy some great concerts, some world-class acts, but also just to be surprised, whether it's visually or intellectually, or even we're weaving in some history about the area. For instance, one of our little pieces we were just working on was about the Chippewa River, for which the Chippewa Valley takes its name. That, of course, that's derivative of the Ojibwa, the Anishinaabe, and that speaks to the very history of this land. So, yeah, a mix. You don't want to get too heavy and serious and didactic, but so basically a lot of fun, a lot of great music, but also hoping to convey some of the heart and soul of this place that we're so grateful to call home.
Yeah, the past two guests we talked to about their music festivals were kind of talking about how great the food was going to be. Do you know how great the food is going to be at the Eau Claire Music Festival?
I don't have a lot of insight on the food. I am not part of that particular effort. But, you know, if nothing else, maybe I could make you some scrambled eggs from my chickens, although I'm down to 14 chickens right now, so it's kind of going to have to be first come, first served. But yes, food will be an integral part of the festival, you bet.
So, as you mentioned, you're collaborating with Justin Vernon from Bon Iver. How do you think his popularity has affected the Wisconsin music scene?
Well, it's, he obviously has achieved a certain level of fame, but I think what folks who know him appreciate is that he seems to be the same guy. He just has a couple of Grammys sitting. Well, frankly, they're down in the basement on the back of the toilet in the bathroom. But he's still a regular guy, and I think certainly You know, he would demur all this stuff. He would just go back to work. He's not one to brag on himself. I think humility is a word that keeps coming up when you stick your neck out and try, whether it's being a performer or whether it's starting your own business or whether it's starting your own music festival. That comes with a certain humility. You just pitch in, you work at it, and you hope that folks are positively influenced. And I think we would say the same about that. One thing I will say that Justin has done is he's let the rest of us know that, you can be from here and do that. And I think that's lovely.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us. We look forward to seeing folks.
Michael Perry, Wisconsin author, narrator of the Eau Claire Music Festival. It takes place July 17th and 18th in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and we have posted more information about it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is a summer music festival edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine asking you, what music festivals are you looking forward to attending this summer? Any genre. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, did anyone see the Rolling Stones opening up Summerfest? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you planning on attending another one of the acts at Summerfest, which is going on right now? We welcome in John Bowler. He is the Chief Marketing Officer of Summerfest Music Festival. It takes place from June 24th through the 28th, and then again June 30th through July 5th in Milwaukee on the beautiful lakefront. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. So you take Monday off. Is that what's going on there?
Yep. We're dark on Monday. We open up, as you mentioned, with the Stones on the 23rd, and then technically the entire festival opened up on the 24th, a Wednesday. But we are dark on Monday the 29th.
So this is dubbed the world's largest music festival. What do you mean by this?
Well, let's see here. In 1998, we were paid a visit by the Guinness Book of World Records, and they were the ones that designated the festival with that designation. And so we're proudly using that with our branding and our messaging.
Yeah, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, but Summerfest is very important to Milwaukee and, for that matter, Wisconsin.
Well, it's got a huge heritage in history. As you know, we're coming up on we're celebrating our 48th edition. But aside from the music and the celebration and all of the items that you would recognize on the surface, you know, to your point. The economic impact that comes vis-a-vis the event from Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin is very significant. The state will generate in the area of $226 million in direct and indirect spending. And of that, about $187 million will be focused in the southeastern community.
Yeah. I used to go to Summerfest more when I was younger. I haven't been there in years. Why should I go back?
Well, you should definitely go back if you love music and if you love people watching and if you love great variety of food. But I think the most notable change that you might recognize would be really in the infrastructure. Henry Meyer Festival Park is 75 acres right along the shorelines of Milwaukee's lakefront on Lake Michigan. And over the past 10 years, we've been working diligently to redevelop a good portion of that site. So between Milwaukee World Festival Incorporated and our partners, we've invested approximately $65 million in the infrastructure, which has yielded really, really beautiful new venues, walkways, seating areas, restrooms, restaurants, new stages, and the venue is really a world-class setting. It really is. It's a place like no other. You won't find another festival site with permanent infrastructure and the quality of design. And really, it's just something that is definitely worth coming back to check out, because I think you'd be very, very delighted with it.
You know, I'm going to. How big? Give us a sense how big it is. How many stages does Summerfest have?
And Summerfest has 11 stages, plus a variety of other very, very small, little unique twists and turns. But primarily, yeah, the Marcus Amphitheater is a 23,000-seat major amphitheater, and then we have 10 other major venues that, you know, from a capacity standpoint, are ranging anywhere from, you know, 3,000 on the low side to upwards of 12,000. So when you have that many stages fired up with great music, and you've got a lot of music fans in there, and each one of those areas are well-populated and really designed to deliver their own unique music experience.
So who are some of the headliners still to come?
Well, tonight we're excited about Keith Urban. He's going to do a great show. You know, the Marcus Amphitheater lineup is really, you know, created to celebrate a variety of different music genres, and we try to bring in the best of the best out there. So we will have a visit from Stevie Wonder tomorrow night. The following night we'll have Zac Brown Band, Linkin Park, Kendrick Lamar, Carrie Underwood, Ed Sheeran, the Avett Brothers, and Neil Young, along with a variety of other really great headliners that, you know, are coming from all different genres. We have the Flaming Lips, Aloe Black, Isley Brothers, Sammy Hagar, Vance Joy, Sheila E. You know, last night we really enjoyed some performances from Gary Clark Jr., a phenomenal blues player. And, you know, there's just a little of something of everything for people out there.
Yeah. And there's a lot of food there, too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. When you're going to host and throw a party for approximately, let's see, 850,000 people, you better be equipped on the food and beverage side. So we've got 45 different really, really great food and beverage operators. Many of them have been with us for countless years, and they've developed menus that are fan favorites and old standards. And but at the same time, we try to keep it fresh with introducing some new vendors and making sure that everybody on our food and beverage team always works to try to keep their menu fresh and introduce some new interesting items. So, you know, this year we're looking forward to trying some new food. There's one that today I'm going to give a try, which is French fried meatballs. How do you like that?
You are braver than I.
But, you know, the food and beverage offering at Summerfest is very eclectic. It's very much like the music lineup. There is a little something for everyone, but all of the executions are you know, done in a very high quality way, because we have as I mentioned before, a really great infrastructure. So these food operators have, you know, real kitchens to work in, enough room to plate the food, and really present it so that people can have a great time with not only the food and beverage experience, but just their overall experience.
Well, with my schedule and how long Summerfest is taking place, I think I am going to be able to make it this year after all. So thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Look forward to seeing you, Joy.
And we have posted more information on Summerfest on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll talk about another music fest after the news. I've been over there, hey. So are you going to a music festival this summer? What music festival are you most excited about? Are there certain bands you're excited to see? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is summer music festival season in Wisconsin, and across the state, music lovers can listen to a variety of genres with something for almost everyone's taste in music. We have already heard throughout the hour about several music festivals taking place, from Summerfest in Milwaukee happening now through July 5th, to the Eau Claire Music Festival, which takes place July 17th and 18th in Eau Claire, to the Driftless Music Festival, which takes place on July 18th in Viroqua, to the Northwoods Blues Festival, which takes place this weekend, today and tomorrow, in Spooner. What about you? What music festival are you looking forward to attending or maybe even performing in? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Next, we talk about the Catfish River Music Festival, which is taking place July 3rd through the 5th in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Our guest is Bill Brehm, the director of the Stoughton Opera House and co-founder of the Catfish River Music Festival. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
What is the Catfish River Music Festival?
Well, the Catfish Music Festival is really an offshoot of the programming that we've developed over the last several years at the Stoughton Opera House, which is largely Americana music, but the festival sprang from some of the trappings of the success of the Opera House, in that we realized that we had formed a kind of community of patrons and musicians who were interested in the stuff that we were putting on, and we just kind of were inspired to put on a festival.
And
I don't really...
Yeah, and Catfish River, I'm just saying, where did Catfish River come from?
Well, you know, Catfish River is actually a traditional... In Stoughton, that's what the Ahara River, which runs through town, was originally called, the Catfish River.
I didn't know that, so I'm glad I asked. And I just played a little clip from Charlie Parr. That's someone who will be performing?
Yeah, Charlie Parr is really a Midwestern treasure. He's a roots blues musician out of the Duluth music scene, which is something that's up and coming. And Charlie's definitely one of the highlights of the festival for the weekend. I saw him just the other week at the Blue Ox Festival up in Eau Claire, and he just puts on an amazing show.
And anyone else, when you say Americana music, who else is playing?
Well, you know, Americana is an interesting word, genre that kind of is a catch-all genre for so many different types of music, and there's people who would think that Americana music is all country music or bluegrass music, but it's really a catch-all for roots music, blues music, even jazz music, bluegrass music, some country music. We've got all sorts of people, mostly regional people this year. Last year at the festival, we had some headlining shows inside with Gillian Welsh and Greg Brown and Irish Dement. But honestly, we had more fun outside. So this year we decided to keep everything outside. We've got Charlie Parr, and then Kendra Swanson is actually somebody who people might want to tune into, because she's a up-and-coming, I guess, Americana performer. It seems like anyone who has a banjo is an Americana performer these days. But we also have jazz and funk and folk music and just a huge variety of bands that people would enjoy. One of the problems that we've come across, which is a good problem at the Opera House over the last few years, is that people have come to trust our programming choices and come to shows simply because they think that we're probably offering something that they'll enjoy. So we've got all sorts of music, and we've personally picked it out as stuff that we think that people are going to enjoy.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to be outside, so we won't be sitting in the beautiful Stoughton Opera House to listen to the music?
Well, the festival actually takes place in a park that's just next door to the Opera House, and we close off some streets and have vendors and big tents and all the trappings of a kind of classic small town festival. There's actually a fair and a carnival also going on at the same time, about 2 blocks down the street. So, conveniently, so people can come and go on the Tilt-A-Whirl if they like, in between acts. And then on Sunday night, the fair actually is putting off fireworks, which conveniently explode directly over the festival. So that was pretty cool last year. I think that'll be pretty neat this year as well.
It sounds great. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Bill Brehm is the director of the Stoughton Opera House, co-founder of the Catfish River Music Festival, which takes place July 3rd through the 5th in Stoughton, Wisconsin. And again, like all of the music festivals we've discussed this hour, we will put more information up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, we have Joanne and Nesh Coral with us with a recommendation. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Good to talk with you. I would like to tell about the Black Hawk Folk Music Festival. That's about our 28th annual music festival to be held on Saturday, July 11th from 10:30 to 7. It's at the Mountain View Community Center this year. We usually have it at the Mount Morris Park, but they're doing some rebuilding on the grounds, and we weren't able to use that this year. Anyway, we start at 10:30 with an open mic, and then we have Steve Hazel, Arian Leiden, a band called The Dangits, Katie Dahl.
The Dangits.
The Dangits. Oh, they're really good. They're fun.
Joanne, and I apologize because we don't have a lot of time. This okay. is in Nesh Coral?
No. It's about 8-10 miles out of Wautoma on Highway 152. The 4-H have a food booth, including veggie burgers, and we have a big arts and crafts show there, artisans. And for more details, go to blackhawkfolk.org.
Sounds great. I'll be there for the veggie burgers. And the music sounds good. Thanks very much. Kurt on Facebook says, for those who like heavy metal and punk, Project Mayhem is in Rhinelander near Lake George. It goes from August 6th through the 9th. I don't know if I understood that, but that sounds interesting. Heavy metal and punk. Tickets are $10. Morbid Saint headlines on Saturday night. There we go. There's something for everyone. Catherine on Facebook says, St. Germain's Pig in the Pines Rib Fest will be held July 30th through August 1st, and there will be lots of family fun, live music, and Molly Hatchett is headlining on Saturday night. Thank you for your suggestions on this summer music festival edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. It's now time for Wisconsin Life. June is wedding month. Ken Szymanski used to DJ weddings on the side in Eau Claire. He recalls one of his last gigs and the crowd and his unwillingness to let the evening end.
This dance, as well as my wedding DJ career, was supposed to end an hour ago. I started this job 17 years ago as a way to make spare money on weekends. I quit for good several times and have stayed retired for most of the 10 years I've been married. But now I'm back again at a rustic northern Wisconsin resort, one last time as a favor for friends. There's no other civilization for miles. Here there is music, free beer, and a major life event. They're not going anywhere. How many encores are too many? We tried to end back at midnight with Sweet Caroline, but the crowd got the one more song chant going, and we couldn't stop there. Later, I tried to end again after Piano Man, then more chanting, more dance music, and, finally, the apparent closing group sing-along, Hey Jude. The groom says to cut it off after this one, but when confronted by the chanting crowd and his own groomsmen, he gives me the sign to keep going. I want the night to end with a grand finale, but it's like predicting the stock market. No one knows when the peak hits until it's too late. At this point, there aren't any top-tier dance songs left. Somebody asked Ernie's Don't Stop Believin'. This isn't even dance music, but with the push of a button, the crowd is full of air keyboards, air guitars, and with raised fists, raised drinks, they're singing themselves hoarse. My wife has taken my two sons, amped up on kitty cocktails and glow sticks, back to the hotel room. My 7-year-old begged to stay longer, but his little brother was, like my sound system's amplifier, past the max and headed for a meltdown. One groomsman slaps a 20 on the sound system. Keep it going, he says. Only the really, really good stuff from here on out. Finally, an hour after the official end of the dance, the bartender notifies me that the facility is shutting down. Fulfilling one last desperate drunken request, I play Sweet Caroline again. The families and friends sing along like they haven't heard this song in a decade. Last call comes and goes. The bar closes. I reluctantly shut down the system. People who can hardly stand start planning after parties. After packing up, I walk through the parking lot thinking about how this gig was one of the all-time best, and how maybe that would be the one to end on, for good this time. Then a guy with a crooked tie points at me and shouts, "Hey, microphone guy!" He pauses to focus, then slurs, "You're good at that!" That parking lot compliment might be the capstone of my career, a sincere, intoxicated epitaph. I get back to the hotel room, and my family has all crashed. It's completely dark, except for my 3-year-old son's illuminated face. Clutching a green glow stick, he sleeps, still unwilling, or unable, to let it go.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, you can visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. Thanks very much to Kayla Blado and to Christy Taylor, who produced and directed this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Next week on Tell Joy Where to Go, travel writer Gary Knowles will join us with his list of recommended activities for the month of July. That's Tell Joy Where to Go every Friday between 6 and 7.